I'd like to thank everybody for being here. I don't think I saw but four or five people leave when they saw my name come up on the board, so that's pretty good. Jason was sitting over here, and when he found out I was preaching, he said there was a whole lot of other places we could have gone, but I'm glad they're here. David mentioned Grover Stevens, and right at the top of my notes here, the saying that he said, and it may not have been original with him, was, if it's true, it's not new, and if it's new, it's not true. That's exactly what I was going to say the first thing, was because I'm just going to remind us of something that we already know. And most times that's what's going on. We're being reminded of something we already know. And it's something that I've probably spoke on in different sides of it up here before. But it's talking about a great need that we have in our lives and everyone's life in the world. And I was thinking about it, and I've had some discussions with people I work with and just different people around, and denominations, I first put churches, but I need to say more specifically, denominations today do anything and everything but worship. And I just made a list. I said from coffee and donuts to gospel singing groups to plays, field trips, sports teams, and the list could go on and on. That's what they term as part of their worship when they get together, their fellowship. And I used to be surprised when you would read about an initiative that they had, maybe in the paper or you heard from another person about an initiative they had to bring the people in. But, you know, I'll be 52 in May, and nothing surprises me anymore. It doesn't surprise me what people are doing. And it's really sad that I have, again, in my almost 52 years, that I've seen churches of Christ, some churches of Christ, sound churches of Christ, edge towards that. And I don't know if you can even say that. When you start doing anything outside God's plan, that's not edging toward it, that's doing it. And that's not right to try to bring the people in, to try to, as they would say, save people's souls. And, of course, we know that's not right. They've become more social clubs than houses of worship. And Steve does a really good job of warning us against these things. I'm not going to preach any lesson, hopefully, that he hadn't preached in the last month or so. But we need to get back to our mission. Turn over to Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And there we read, well, we'll read today verse 9. Jesus was talking to Zacchaeus here, and he said, "And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." There's a lot of things that we do as Christians, but our primary mission, besides staying faithful, is seeking and saving the lost. This was Jesus speaking about that was his job. He came here to seek and save the lost. God sent his Son to be a soul winner. We sing a song, "I Want to Be a Soul Winner." Do we sing that? Are we lying when we sing that? And Christ picked specific men to be apostles, and they were soul winners. And so we see that theme throughout the Bible, that when we become a child of God, when someone has taught us the Word, that it's we don't just sit there, that we need to move on to become teachers of the Word. We need to go out and to teach those and to bring those to Christ. Let's turn back a couple chapters to Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. There's a desperate need of personal workers out in the field. And I'm not going to talk especially about personal work today. I believe I've probably two or three different times have spoken of it here. But Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Well, I'll get there eventually. Here we go. "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The harvest is always there. We know that when you plant a crop, that there's a period of time where you work on the crop and you weed it and you go on through, and there's time for harvest. The harvest time for souls is every day of our lives, every day that we're able to get up and speak to others, call others, write to others, do what we can. The harvest is there. We don't have to wait for a specific time. I think a lot of time you can look back on your life. I won't speak for you all. You can look back on your life and you can see you know, days or months of opportunities that you've missed waiting for that harvest. Well, that harvest is always there, so don't wait on it. Be ready for it and pay attention. Pay attention to it. In the Civil War, I used to be I used to study a lot on the Civil War. And in the Civil War, there was a thing where if you had enough money, you could pay somebody to go into war for you, to go into battle for you. Instead of you being drafted or being taken in, you could pay somebody else and say, you're going to go in my stead. Well, the battle that we have, we can't pay somebody to go in our stead. In our pass-through room, which is, oh, there you go, we have a board, and we have reports from all the men that we help to support. And, you know, we're not paying those men to do our work for us. And Steve and Donna, you know, we help support them here to work with us, but we're not paying them to do our work for us. In Ephesians 1, we won't turn over there. But in Ephesians 1, we read about Christ being the head, but we're the hands and feet. We sing a song about that, about the world's Bible. We may be the only Bible that the world may read. We're the hands and feet. The work's not going to get done unless we do it. I can't say it any other way. It's really simple. We got to get out there and get to work. When we became a child of God, we promised Him several things, to love Him, obey Him, and one of His commandments is to get out and teach. Now, have we gone back on that promise? Have we lied to God? We said, I'm going to serve you no matter what, God. But you know what? Getting out talking to people is kind of hard. My job, I talk to a lot of people. You have to have people skills, so to speak. And as you all know, I like to talk. So I'm pretty decent at it. But a lot of times, maybe we might do that in the business world or in relations around talking to people. But when it comes to talking about the scriptures, we just shut our mouths. We can't do that. We may not be real good at it, but the Lord didn't say, pick out your best. He said, let's all go out there and do it. And so we need to make sure that we do that. And so I guess the question is, why do we, and I'm just going to speak for myself, why do we fail in that area so many times? And let's turn over to Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, 1 through 3. This is Paul speaking here. He said, I tell you the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh. So Paul had a genuine concern for the lost. We're just going to put the lost. It's easy to have a genuine concern for all y'all here, because I know you and I love you, and we're all on the same path. But does that genuine concern for souls, does it translate to the people we work with, to members of our own family who are not Christians, and our best friends, and just go, you can go on and on, people we work with, there's a genuine concern that is needed. And sometimes I'm going to, again, speak for myself, it's not there. It hasn't been there as it should be. And it's lessons like this that bring me back to what I need to be doing. So how do we do it? How do we accomplish this task? The early church carried out the Great Commission. And I think I've said this this number before. If you look, there's a couple of verses that say that the world was pretty much taught to in about 29 years or so. And we've been here for, 42? Something like this, since 1977. And can we say the same thing about Anderson County? Have we covered Anderson County and preached the gospel, reached out to the lost in our area in Anderson County? And I don't know if we can say that. But contrary to what what the majority of the world will tell you or try to sell you, the Lord's way is the most effective way. You know, people have tried to improve upon it for over 2,000 years, and all they do is change it. They've never improved upon the way God wants us to do it. You know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, if you do this, then you'll get the people in, then you can teach them the truth. And God didn't say to do it that way. God said, teach them the truth, and they're going to, of their own choice, they're either going to say, I accept that, and I'm glad that you've taught me that, or they're going to reject it. I mean, it's basically that simple. and we're going to be able to tell. So the Lord adds to the church, we read over in Acts 2, verses 41 and 47, he adds to the church those who are being saved. But basically, when we're talking about church growth, the Lord's plan is multiplication. You've ever seen it where you have one, teach one. When they become a child of God, they go and teach one. And you continue and you continue and you grow that way. And somebody did this. I didn't do this because I'm not that great at math. But they said if you convert one person a year and then that person converts one a year, in 18 to 20 years, the whole world could be converted. Now, you know, when I read that, I kind of smiled and said, well, that'll never happen. That's the attitude that we can't have, is that it'll never happen. Because they're right. With that attitude, it's never going to happen. Let's turn over to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28, very familiar verse, in verses 19 and 20. Jesus spoke to them, saying, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So we see there that if we don't have that attitude, Lord said, go and teach. He said earlier, he said, come and learn. But he didn't say, come and learn, stop. He said, go and teach. Come and learn, and then go out and teach those round about you. And that's going to be different for everybody. That's going to be, we've got to start with our families and then go from there. But anyway, evangelism is not complete until those who are taught become teach those who teach. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Another familiar verse that there's a lot of these I could probably quote if we were sitting there doing memorization class, but I'm not going to try that up here. 2 Timothy 2, 2 chapter, verse 2. And these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able also to teach others, who will be able to teach others also. So it's not complete. We can teach and help to convert people, but we need to continue to work with them and get them to where they go out and to teach and help convert. And it just continues to get better and better and greater, and that's the way it needs to be. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. Well, let's go back to 37. He says, he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Verse 38 says, the field is the world. We got to be careful not to prejudge any person. You know, we've heard that a lot. I told you I was going to remind you of things. How many times have you heard up here, you know, you can't prejudge. You've got to go take it to everybody. We can't prejudge people by the way they're dressed, by the words coming out of their mouth. That's usually a pretty good indication, but that still shouldn't stop you from at least starting a conversation with them. And so I'm going to admit this, and I really hate it, but some of y'all have heard this. I've judged people sometimes because of their political affiliation. In this climate of the way politics are so divisive and terrible, and it's not going to get on politics, but it's so divisive and terrible that I have judged them or on their stance about a certain issue. And, you know, sometimes the issues don't matter. But sometimes in moral issues such as abortion things, sometimes these people may be wrong on that issue. In fact, they are wrong on that issue if they don't believe that abortion is completely wrong in every situation. But in Mark 16:15, we're told to go and teach to every creature. It didn't say, and I got this from somebody else, I kind of wrote it around. It didn't say, the Great Commission didn't say, go to all Americans, teach all those good conservatives. It didn't say that. As much as sometimes we limit ourselves to the people that we like, or the people that we agree with politically, or the people we agree with. However, we can't do that. We have to take it on beyond that And so we have unlimited opportunities. Turn over to John 4, verse 35. As I said, it's always harvest time. John 4, verse 35 through 38. Verse 35 says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." And over in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, goes right along with it. That's a verse we all know. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You know, I can't explain that verse any better than what it is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is all of us. But most all of us in here have done something about it. Some haven't, and we need to think about that and work on that. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I looked up the word apathetic or apathy, and again, you hate when you read, you see a word and you read the definition, and then you think, you know, that has applied to me in sometimes past. You hate it. But if you're honest with yourself, if I'm honest with myself, this has been me from time to time. Apathetic said showing or feeling no interest, enthusiasm, or concern. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 3. That's the definition, and then here is a actual example of that definition. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Again, there's no explanation needed for exactly what that means. He says, "I could wish that you were one way or the other, but you're indifferent. You're not showing any concern, any interest, or any enthusiasm." We should be very enthusiastic about teaching the gospel, because we've got something that the great majority of the world doesn't have. We should be enthusiastic about it, but we need to show that interest and that concern in other people's souls. And again, sometimes I have not. I have used every excuse in the world. And there's no excuse that is acceptable to, should be to me, but it's not an excuse that's acceptable to God. So without us personally working, we're going to stagnate and die. I mean, there's 183 people, we're averaging around 180-something people every day. But how many of this 180, how many have we helped to convert? And we could say a few. You know, there's a lot of congregations around here that would just absolutely love to have really even a tenth of what we have as far as the amount of people. There's a lot of tiny little congregations around here that need a lot of help. We've got 180, and of course you've got bunches of kids and things like that. But we've got a lot of able-bodied Christians who need to get out and get to work. And maybe we're not doing it like we ought to. And so sometimes we've helped to convert a few, and then somebody has said, "Well, you know, you're going for numbers." And it's not about the numbers, but without numbers, you can't convert anybody. You're going to have to get people, you're going to have to talk to people and try to get those numbers, and then help to convert those people and help to bring them to Christ. And that's really what it all boils down to. And so, what have you been doing? I used to use the old standby. Teach by my example, and we better be teaching by our example, because if our example is not what it should be, then we need to go back and fix that before we even start teaching others, because we're not going to be very effective in our teaching. But we need to deliberately make the attempt, and don't wait till you're 25, 35, 45, 50. Don't wait, because I mean, you can look, and I'm going to single out Luke. You know, Luke's been preaching for a while. He's out there and making it to where it's easier for him to talk to people about the gospel. The more you do of certain things, the easier it becomes. And so, you know, don't wait. Don't be forced into a situation where, oh, I've got to talk to these people. Get ready for it. Prepare for it. And when the time comes, when you've gone out, and you've talked to those people and you've gone to them instead of just waiting for it to happen to you, it becomes easier, and it's obeying God's command. And so thousands die each day. I looked up it was on the internet, so it's got to be true. They said that 7,452 people die in the U.S. every day. That averages out to about one every 12 seconds. I probably hadn't been up here about 10 minutes, but there's a whole lot of people that have passed in the very time that I've just been speaking to you. Now, we may not have known any of them, but I had a classmate. I'm not going to say he was a close friend, but he was a close friend in high school, but then, 30-something years, hadn't seen him in a long time, but he just died the other day. 51 years old, found him dead on his couch. And the older I get, the more I see that, people my age. And it happens. It's no respecter of persons. Death is not a respecter of persons. It can happen to the young and to the old. But there are people dying every day. And how many of those do we know we had the opportunity to speak to and we didn't? Because we were scared. Because for whatever excuse we may throw out there, it just didn't work. And so that's my lesson this morning. I'm going to offer the invitation to those who are not Christians. Being a Christian is the most wonderful and most rewarding thing you can ever be. And if you are not a child of God and you know that you are in sin, you need God. You need to come forward, or you don't have to come forward. That's a very convenient and maybe a simpler way of doing that. But you need to become a child of God. And if you are not a child, or if you are a child of God and you have sinned in a public way, then you brought reproach upon the Lord and upon this congregation, you need to take care of that in a public way. If there's sin in your life nobody knows about but you and God, then take care of that. Because that sin is just as bad and just as damning as sins that maybe everybody knows about. But you need to take care of that. But even beyond that, I would encourage you that make your example right. Make your life right. And then go out and teach others. Because we don't know how much longer we have. 2 Corinthians 6:2 talks about today is the day of salvation. This is another thing you've heard quite a bit. And because it's true. Today may be the only day you have. We might have another 1,000 years. We may have 15 minutes. We don't know. But we need to make our lives right. And then we need to go and teach others. So if you needed to take care of your life in any way, please come as we stand and sing.